All righty. For those listening on the radio, thanks again for being here. We're in Mind Character Personality Volume 2 now, Chapter 19, page 524. And thank you, Bonnie, for using that same website we did the other day. I can expand the lettering. I can read it really good now with these old tired eyeballs. Okay. I'll start off, read a few of them. The first one is, thought enfolds the deed. The spirit of hatred and revenge originated, oh, by the way, it's chapter 19 and the title is Hatred and Revenge. The spirit of hatred and revenge originated with Satan, and it led him to put to death the Son of God. Whoever cherishes malice or unkindness is cherishing the same spirit, and its fruit will be unto death. In the revengeful thought, the evil deed lies enfolded, as the plant in the seed. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him, Jesus said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Of course, John quoting him. And I was, it's amazing how I was just going to, because that's the thought that was coming to mind about that, is you just think about hating somebody, and it's the same thing with adultery. You just think about it. It's committing the act. You think about, you hate someone, and that's, you know, if hatred has its full-blown access to your actions, there's going to be a murder. I mean, look at Cain and Abel. You know, so anyway, continuing, spirit of hate debases. I was shown Satan as he once was, a happy, exalted angel. Then I was shown him as he now is. He still bears a kingly form. His features are still noble, for he is an angel fallen. But the expression of his countenance is full of anxiety, care, unhappiness, malice, hate, mischief, deceit, and ever evil. Wow, sounds like normal life out there in the wicked world. Now you look around, you see that's the kind of stuff you see on everybody's faces. And it's kind of like just desserts for what he did, too. It's all his own fault. But continuing, she says, I saw that he had so long bent himself to evil that every good quality was debased and every evil trait was developed. It's kind of like working out with weights. Well, he was working out with evil. And next one is, history of the world, a conflict between hate and love. Satan's enmity against Christ has been manifested against his followers. The same hatred of the principles of God's law, the same policy of deception by which error is made to appear as truth, by which human laws are substituted, for the law of God and men are led to worship the creator, worship the creature rather than the creator, may be traced in all the history of the past. That's one of the reasons for all those false gods, too. Satan's efforts to misrepresent the character of God, to cause men to cherish a false conception of the Creator, and thus to regard him with fear and hate rather than with love, his endeavors to set aside the divine law, leading the people to think themselves free from its requirements, and his persecution of those who dare to resist his temptation or deceptions, have been steadfastly pursued in all ages. They may be traced in the history of patriarchs, prophets, and apostles, of martyrs and reformers. Well, one busy fallen angel. And I'll read this last one because it's so tiny. It says, transgression put man in harmony with Satan. When man transgressed the divine law, his nature became evil, and he was in harmony and not at variance with Satan. Scary thought.
Okay. The next one is hatred to exist as long as sin exists, which I guess means up until the second coming. Hatred of the pure principles of truth and reproach and persecution of its advocates will exist as long as sin and sinners remain. The followers of Christ and the servants of Satan cannot harmonize. Reproof arouses hatred is the next title. The same spirit that prompted rebellion in heaven still inspires rebellion on earth. Reproof of sin still arouses the spirit of hatred and resistance. When God's messages of warning are brought home to the conscience, Satan leads men to justify themselves and to seek the sympathy of others in their course of sin. Instead of correcting their errors, they excite indignation against the reprover, as if he were the sole cause of difficulty. From the days of righteous Abel to our own time, such is the spirit which has been displayed toward those who dare to condemn sin. And, you know, when you preach out on the street sometimes, or you, I mean, even with CB radio, I'm always making comments when I do listen to it, which I don't do often just because it's so nasty. But, you know, you get the guys driving down the road talking about, well, let's just say referring to women in ways that you shouldn't be doing, and, you know, talking about a girl going by in a car and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, I when I hear that kind of stuff, I always have something to say about it. And it's amazing the language and the attacks and, you know, because I won't talk about a woman the way they're talking about it, I must be gay and doing all kinds of other strange things that gay folks do, and that doesn't count the four-letter words. But, you know, it just goes to show you it's true. When you reprove somebody, and you know, it's, and I keep telling them, it ain't me, man. Read the book. I didn't write the book. Anyway, to continue, envy arouses hatred. Though Saul was ever on the alert for an opportunity to destroy David, he stood in fear of him, since it was evident that the Lord was with him. David's blameless character aroused the wrath of the king. He deemed that the very life and presence of David cast a reproach upon him, since by contrast it presented his own character to disadvantage. It was envy that made Saul miserable and put the humble subject of his throne in jeopardy. What untold mischief has this evil trait of character worked in our world? The same enmity exists in the heart of Saul that stirred the heart of Cain against his brother Abel, because Abel's works were righteous and God honored him, and his own works were evil, and the Lord could not bless him. Envy is the offspring of pride, and if it is entertained in the heart, it will lead to hatred and eventually to revenge and murder. Satan displays his own character in exciting the fury of Saul against him who has never done him harm. And I'll get one more in. A sinful emotion. The law of God takes note of the jealousy, envy, hatred, malignity, revenge, lust, and ambition that surges through the soul, but have not found expression in outward action because the opportunity, not the will, has been wanting. And these sinful emotions will be brought into account in the day when God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that's from Ecclesiastes 12, chapter 12, verse 14.
Okay, murder first exists in the heart. Jesus takes up the commandment separately and explains the depth and breadth of their requirements. Instead of removing one jot of their force, he shows how far-reaching their principles are and exposes the fatal mistake of the Jews in their outward show of obedience. He declares that by the evil thought or the lustful look, the law of God is transgressed. One who becomes a party to the least injustice is breaking the law and degrading his own moral nature. Murder first exists in the mind. He who gives hatred a place in his heart is setting his feet in the path of the murderer, and his offerings are abhorrent to God. A violation of the sixth commandment. All acts of injustice that tend to shorten life, the spirit of hatred and revenge, or the indulgence of any passion that leads to injurious acts towards others or causes us even to wish them harm, for whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, are to a greater or less degree violations of the sixth commandment. Next one is Satan inspires with his own energies of hate. When Satan is permitted to mold the will, he uses it to accomplish his ends. He instigates theories of unbelief and stirs up the human heart to war against the Word of God. With persistent, persevering effort, he seeks to inspire men with his own energies of hate and antagonism to God, and to array them in opposition to the institutions and requirements of heaven and the operations of the Holy Spirit. He enlists under his standard all evil agencies and brings them into the battlefield under his generalship to oppose evil against good. One thing I want to say about that is Satan, I mean, he doesn't give up. You know, he's not throwing up his hands saying, oh, I can't get them all. You know, he just keeps going, you know, and just doesn't give up. So I think we need to be the same way and, you know, not to get discouraged and, you know, to feel like giving up because, you know, I mean, the devil's not backing off.
So true. And he never will. So we just have to turn up the heat on him by staying on our knees, because I know I've read somewhere where it says that even the weakest saint on their knees is more than a match for Satan and all of his imps. But continuing, the next section is world hated Christ because he was different. The difference between the character of Christ and the character of other men of his day was everywhere apparent, and because of this difference, the world hated him. It hated him for his goodness and his strict integrity, and Christ declared that those who manifest the same attributes would be likewise hated. There you go. As we near the end of time, this hatred for the followers of Christ will be more and more manifest. Hello, are we not seeing that, brethren? I tell you. Christ took humanity and bore the hatred of the world that he might show men and women that they could live without sin, that their words, their actions, their spirit might be sanctified to God. We can be perfect Christians if we manifest this power in our lives. When the light of heaven rests upon us continually, we shall represent Christ. It was the righteousness revealed in his life that distinguished Christ from the world and called forth its hatred. The next section. Hatred springs from desire for revenge. Wow. Satan contested every claim put forth by the Son of God and employed men as his agents to fill the Savior's life with suffering and sorrow. The sophistry and falsehood by which he had sought to hinder the work of Jesus, the hatred manifested through the children of disobedience, his cruel accusations against him whose life was one of unexampled goodness, all sprang from deep-seated revenge. The pent-up fires of envy and malice, hatred and revenge, burst forth on Calvary against the Son of God while all heaven gazed upon the scene in silent horror. Yeah, true, Chris, you know. Unfortunately, they think that you can. It's very sad. But God's word says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. And reading one more, hatred toward parents, words to a young woman, especially have you a work to do to confess with humiliation your disrespectful course toward your parents. There is no reason for this unnatural manifestation toward them. It is purely a satanic spirit, and you have indulged in it because your mother had not sanctioned your course. Your feelings amount not only to positive dislike, decided disrespect, but to hatred, malice, envy, jealousy, which are manifested in your actions, causing them suffering and privation. You do not feel like making them happy or even comfortable. Your feelings are changeable. Sometimes your heart softens, then it closes firmly as you see some fault in them, and the angels cannot impress it with one emotion of love. An evil demon controls you, wow, and you are hateful and hating. God has marked your disrespectful words, your unkind acts to your parents, whom he has commanded you to honor. And if you fail to see this great sin and repent of it, you will grow darker until you will be left to your evil ways.
Okay. Satan delights in controlling minds of children. What a grief it is to see children of God-fearing parents unruly and disobedient, unthankful and self-willed, full of determination to have their own way, regardless of the inconvenience or sorrow it causes their parents. Oops! Sorry, I didn't know you were going to read there, Maestro. Sorry about saying oops. All right, go ahead there, brother.
Okay, can anybody hear me? Yes, no. Okay, let me see if I can lock this mic. Hold on for a second. Guess I can't lock it. All right, I'm going to read anyway. Okay, Satan delights in controlling minds of children. What a grief it is to see children of God-fearing parents unruly and disobedient, unthankful and self-willed, full of determination to have their own way. Regardless of inconvenience or sorrow, it causes their parents. Satan takes delight in ruling the hearts of children, and if he is permitted, he will inspire them with his own hateful spirit. Next one reads, spirit of hate reacts. Let me scroll down. No one can hate his brother or even his enemy without placing himself under condemnation. And the next topic is, revenge does not bring satisfaction. Remember that a revengeful speech never makes one feel that he has gained a victory. Let Christ speak through you. Do not lose the blessing that comes with thinking no evil. And the next topic beclouds the perceptive mind. Pride, self-love, selfishness, hatred, envy, and jealousy have beclouded the perceptive powers, and the truth, which would make you wise unto salvation, has lost its power to charm and control the mind. And I'll read one more. It says, oil of love removes bitterness. Do not suffer resentment to ripen into malice. Do not allow the wound to fester and break out in poisoned words, which taint the minds of those who hear. Do not allow bitter thoughts to continue to fill your mind. Go to your brother and in humility and sincerity, talk to him about the matter. All heaven is interested in the interview between the one who has been injured and the one who is in error. The oil of love removes the soreness caused by the wrong. The Spirit of God binds heart to heart, and there is music in heaven over the union brought about. And that's pretty interesting topic right there, because me and Library Girl earlier had a discussion about something related there too. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. You're slow, Nick. Last one. The heart that gives love for hatred. It is not earthly rank, nor birth, nor nationality, nor religious privilege, which proves that we are members of the family of God. It is love, a love that embraces all humanity. Even sinners whose hearts are not utterly close to God's Spirit will respond to kindness. While they may give hate for hate, they will also give love for love. But it is only the Spirit of God that gives love for hatred. Okay. For a minute there, that didn't make sense to me, but it does now. To be kind to the unthankful and to do evil, and to the evil to do good, hoping for nothing again, is the insignia of the royalty of heaven, the sure token by which the children of the highest reveal their high estate.
Amen. Well, we got 10 minutes left. And Chris has got to get to sleep.
Yeah, I got a little bit more of a reprieve this time than I had Monday. I actually don't have to get up until 3 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock. One more hour makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, but you're not getting enough sleep as it is. Would you get like 5 hours of sleep?
On a good night, yeah, five is probably average. Four a lot of times, 4.5, 5. Should actually get at least 6 or so, but I usually only get that on the weekends.
Wow, how do you do it, man? I remember when I was working, you know, the 9 to 5, I would get on average 6 or 7. But now it seems, maybe I'm getting old. I can't handle it. I got to have at least 8.
Yeah, well, you know, there's part of it you just get used to. When I first started driving, I had a real hard time with it. But the 9 hours, sounds like my wife, LG. She's big on that sleeping. But, you know, you just sort of get used to it, I guess. And like I said, if I go too many days, you know, with only 4 hours of sleep, if I, you know, more than 2 days, then I become dangerous on the road. So I try not to do that any more than I absolutely have to, but I gotta have 5 or 6 as often as I can get it, but I can get by on 4 for a couple of days in a row.
I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it, not that much. Now, I don't know if that's good for you too, because couldn't that cause problems? But it's not easy, I would think. Because like my sons, I know, as young as they are, they can sleep 12, 13 hours. When I was a teenager, I did that too. 13, 14 hours a day I'd sleep. That used to really bother my parents because they were always pushing to get us out of the house. You know, go out and get a job kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely not the right way to go about doing things as far as your body's concerned. You know, you need certain things as far as food and exercise somewhere in one of the studies we did here, Sunshine, there you go, but I know Sister White mentioned about getting the right amount of rest and whatnot, so it's just unfortunately the thing that I tend to be stuck with at the moment anyway. But hey, you know, I'm 52, maybe, 8 more years, and if the Lord gives me that long, and I'll hang it up and retire.
That's pretty good, retiring at 60. Praise the Lord for that. Would you like to close in prayer, or are you guys going to do another one? Because I got to scoot.
Let's wait for a season of prayer, or let's wait for the closing prayer, LG. For the next chapter. Okay, I agree. Okay, well, I'll go ahead then and close in prayer. If you can kneel, do so, please. And if not, bow your head and your hearts, and we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, we glorify you, we worship you, for you are indeed a holy God. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us each and every one, and daily, even the little things, even getting up and waking up and having one more day is a blessing, Father. So we thank you for those blessings. We thank you for the trials and the tribulations that cause us to come closer to you, that will help us stand in the end time. We would like to lift up our individual prayer list that got longer by one tonight. We've got those, and I'll just name them because I know them tonight. We've got Maestro on the list, and Lynn, and LG, Bonnie, and Nick. All of those people, Father, are very dear to each of us and dear to me. We would just ask that you move for them in the areas where they need help, Father. They are looking for that miracle, looking to see your hand move in their lives, whether it be for jobs or housing, or it seems like most of it seems to be revolving around jobs. But we'd also like to thank you, Father, for allowing them to stand in their times of trouble, especially as it regards standing for your law. And may you strengthen them and help them in that regard. We ask for an extra special hedge of angels to protect us as we walk out in the world tomorrow. May we have the opportunity to witness for your son Jesus to someone. I thank you for the opportunity for that today that I had twice, as a matter of fact, and that's a blessing, Father. But for each one of us, give us someone that we can hold your son up to, and may we walk as a light in a world of darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. See you Friday night, or Sabbath Eve. God bless.